Father, thank you again for songs that blesses our heart. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to get to heaven one day and hear the angelic chorus crank up and then all God's saints singing about that redemption in Christ Jesus and all the parts, and when every, dear Lord, in that day, every note will be just what it should be in a glorified body. What an awesome sound. We long to hear that day and see that day come. But unto them there's much we must do. Help us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. I don't want to preach to you. I really want to talk to you from the bottom of my heart about every once in a while in our life, I've got a ring in this thing, brother. Every once in a while in our life journey, we need to stop a few minutes and examine some things in our life and understand what we're here for. I want you to be turning with 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And while you're turning there, before I get into this, I believe that this is a great church. I believe we got some great people in our church. I believe we got some godly people in our church. And I believe with all my heart, if I don't know of another church anywhere, not because the Lord led us to start the church all through the years, but I've been around preaching a lot of places. And I believe that we have something very unusual here, even though to us it's routine. A lot of people think the church is a place to come when you get ready to do good. That's not what the Bible tells us. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel, to help those who are hurting. The church is the place where people get spiritual help. It's not a perfect assembly. We have problems. As a matter of fact, the church is the place where one should be able to come to solve his problems or her problems. Inside these walls should be that place that where we as a body of believers realize we have something that's not in this world. And when people come into this church and settle in the pew as a visitor or just outside and just talk to you tonight a little bit, they need to see more than just the average run of the mill. They need to know there's something here that where God's presence is felt. And I could be the best preacher in the world, but the atmosphere in the pew is not what it should be. My preaching won't do much, neither no one else. Or I could be the worst preacher in the world, and the atmosphere in the pew be what it ought to be, and people would literally love to be in that assembly. Now, don't turn me off yet till I finish. And though we have got a wonderful assembly here, and though we have got people who shake hands and make people feel welcome, we must be reminded to never lose that. Now, there's a reason for that tonight, and I pray. If you look in 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 14, verse 23, 24, and 25, most of the time you look at this and think about what they were talking about tongues, and the context here is about tongues. But if this happens about tongues and what he said, then it also can go further than that when it comes to they come into the auditorium or come into our assembly and sense something that we're more faith than we are reality. Are you understand what I'm talking about? And watch what he says. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Now that's one side of the coin. But if all prophesy or all proclaim truth here, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Now that simply means this. If somebody would come in and there's a great controversy because of problems, or great controversy because of doctrine, great controversies because of situations, there's no harmony, no unity. Satan will see to it the unsaved sense that. Mark it down. He's a mastermind. And so when I read this, I understand what he's talking about the tongue, but it also sets forth that there has to be a harmony, there has to be a unified force atmosphere for the presence of Almighty God to be in this place when the body's here. Christ will not be in the presence if there's a problem in the body. So we have to understand that for God's presence, he lives in us, but for him to be in our presence, there's got to be some attitude problems that has to be dealt with as far as Christians are concerned. And he said, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. If the harmony is there, word get a chance to run its course, then those hearts, the secrets of their hearts will be manifest. And so failing or falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. He says it what happened, that God will give a manifest, you will give a manifestation that someone comes in and say, God's in that place, God's in those people, and they begin to feel the convicted power of the drawing of the gospel for their salvation. Now look in verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And that's, we come in with every kind of wind of doctrine. And don't look at truth through the eyes of God's word. There can be a chaotic situation here. And verse 33 warns us, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all churches of the saints. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God set the table here tonight for us all. And what's to be said here is to feed our heart. You'll hear, you'll be blessed if you'll listen, because I have been blessed as God dealt with my heart in this message tonight, that God wants us to realize the preaching of God's word can be the best it could be. But if there's not an atmosphere in the pew when people sit beside you, whoever it may be, week after week, or new people come in, that will kill. Satan, you don't realize how powerful Satan is. It will destroy anything the word can do at that moment, because it takes the attention away from the pulpit to wherever that is at that time. I want you to look with me also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul said in verse 19 through 23, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all, unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain the them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, he's not telling us here, you know, that if you want to gain the alcoholic, to drink with him. If you want to gain the nicotine addicted person, smoke with him. He's not telling us if you want to gain the adulteress, commit adultery with him. That's not what he said. But he said, I've learned how far I can go to be what I need to be on the level of an individual for the purpose, the goal, to win that person to the Lord. I have a place to a standard. I have a standard to a section. And therefore, I will go to there to meet that individual. I won't cross over into a sin, but I'll meet that individual as close as I can, that I might be able to reach that individual for Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. Verse 23, he said, and this I do. Why does he do what he just said? This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we'll make a few comments and go home. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you look in, let's see. It's chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 2. Paul said, here are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Here are our epistles. If you're saved here, here are our epistles. Notice again. Written in our hearts. Known and read to all of all men. I want to speak on this subject. I thought about what kind of subject could it be for tonight to encourage us a little bit. But I want to speak on this subject. Make every visitor welcome. So preacher's been doing that. But we need to hear again. We ought to have the attitude that every visitor that comes in this church should be felt welcome by me as a member of this church if they sit by me. There are some things we need to do about that. We need to be reminded of why we're here. If I If you could do something to directly impact the salvation of someone else, would you do it? I think that most of us here would do that. I think it's something we think of. Matthew 16:23 says, For what does a man profit gain? The whole world loses his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you do that you could influence someone directly? I think, what if I told you now that most of us already do that? But would it be I, anyone else? I need to be reminded when these doors are open, when God is present in our midst, when the Word of God is open at this podium or wherever it's at, and we're reading the very words that God has written for our day. That is a holy moment. That's a precious time. But we'll get so used to it. There was a time that the word was taken for Israel. And when the time came, after years, God brought it back for it to be read. It was found, hid away. And Israel heard the word of God. They stood up for hours. Just to hear it read. Don't hear it preach. Don't hear it explain. But just to hear it read. It don't sound like our day, does it? I'm talking about the presence of Almighty God around His Word. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what a visitor sees at our services can and does affect his or her relationship to our church. And that's what Paul is telling in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Though he used the tongue here, because that was the thing at the time. People were speaking, no one knew what anyone was said. And so, but what he's talking about, that which disrupts an atmosphere where the Word of God is hindered. And he says, that should not be. We need to be on the same wavelength, this type of thing. You see, most people who visit in our church are not members of the church. Some are, but most are not. We go out, a lot of folks go out and knock on doors and try to bring people to Christ. There's many people who come in. They don't know Christ, or if they know Christ, maybe they're from a background, a doctrine that's just not like we are. And therefore, they don't understand our procedures. They don't understand the way we present ourselves as far as in the services sometimes. And so most of these members are not members of the church. They base their impression on us by worldly standards. And here we have to show friendship. So what I'm saying to you, the first thing that some comes into this church is going to be what they see in us as human beings. But preacher, wait a minute. Don't we want people to come because we have the truth, not because they enjoy the assembly? Yes. But here's the thing. People who visit the assembly don't understand God's word or His standard when they come in the door a lot of times. And you see, the unsaved, listen to me, the unsaved does not recognize the goodness of God. They don't recognize that. The only thing the unsaved recognize is the fact that I got what I got, I worked hard for it, it's mine, nobody else's. Nobody gets credit for it. My boss don't get credit. I give him a good day's work. Listen, the selfish attitude is for the unsaved. That's all they have. That to them is a reality. But at the same time, we realize that everything we have came from God. Amen. And we want them to know that. We want them to understand that. We want them to know that God loves them. So people who visit the assembly don't understand God's word or His standard. Most, I say, probably, or some at least. So I ask the question, is it wise to drive them away with our attitudes and actions? I don't think so. I think that we want to be willing to give my seat. I think we want to be willing to give them my songbook. I think we want to be willing to give them anything. If they don't have a Bible, give them my Bible. Just be sure you get back to me. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that there's got to be an atmosphere in the pew. We have that. We have it better than any church I know of. But there's always room for improvement. And so here in the middle, I don't know why God, but I know for weeks now, He'd been leading to this direction, and I've been putting some things down, and now tonight's the night that we're here to be blessed, to understand, Lord, what is it I can do when someone sits beside of me? Can I introduce myself to them? Can I ask them, is there anything I can do for them? Ushers stand at the door. When they're coming in, shake their hand. Be sure to get a card. Let no one come in that we don't get a card for, at least to be able to let them know how much we appreciate them sharing their time. Ladies and gentlemen, their time is important to them because that's their life. And you can't buy time. You can't buy time with money. God doesn't accept bribes of money for time. He blesses us with his gift. And so, Paul said that the strong ought to accommodate the weak in Romans 15, verse 1 through 3. We should do all that we can to reach others for Christ. And that's what we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you look in chapter 9, verse 19 through 23, again, that's what he said. He'd become all things. He said, I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Isn't it an amazing thing? He said, all this I've said, why am I doing it? Paul said, I'm doing it for the gospel's sake. I didn't think you'd do anything for the gospel's sake. You must be able to, hadn't you? There must be able to do something that God says is very important, even for one to hear the gospel and really hear it. You know, we hear words. We hear words. But there comes a time you hear more than just words, though they are words. You hear the meaning or see the meaning of words. And suddenly the gospel explodes in a way it never did before. And that's the reason the first time you hear the word of God, most of us didn't get saved. I didn't. I was in church all my life. And 3 years after I had joined the church, even as official joining the church, I heard words. I was in preaching all the time. I was hearing certain things. I knew certain things. But I never had heard the gospel until that day that God... I'd heard it, but I hadn't heard it. You understand what I'm talking? I'm not talking double talk here. You've been there too. But there came a day it registered. And it registered deeply in my heart and your heart at that particular time. And so we should do everything that we can to reach others for Christ. Now, let me give you four quick things about make every visitor in our church welcome. Number one, each one of us should understand what the purpose of the assembly is. Do we understand what it's here for? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 teaches us to forsake not the assembly ourselves together. We're to come together for a purpose, and that is to exhort each other. That simply means I get enough hell in the world. I get enough of the evil in the world. This ought to be a place that where we began to carry each other's burdens. We ought to be the one that we can help someone who's down so they can help me when they're down. My wife and I talk about it all the time. We are constantly, if we didn't get along with the Lord and pray sometime, we couldn't stand it. We could not stand it. We found an outlet, and that's the way it ought to be. And thank God for people who understand that all of us have burdens. I guarantee there's not a one here tonight that don't have burdens. Deep burdens, and God only knows about it. And if we knew about some of those burdens, ladies and gentlemen, it would flabbergast most of us. As a matter of fact, if we knew all of our burdens, it still flabbergast us. This world is full of burdens for God's child. Make every visitor welcome. Do you ever consider where you're encouraging others in the assembly or not? More than likely we come in, we sit down, we want things our way, rather than to encourage others. And what? Because of that, when we sit, many times we're so focused, the congregation starts singing, I get involved with it, then I sit down, and then the choir sings. And when the choir sings, suddenly we're hearing the music, but it kind of... it's loud and it fades away. Why? We'll focus way yonder somewhere or another. And then all of a sudden, come to the end, you see the preacher jump up and we come back in real fast like. And we hear a few words that be said that's there. But admit it, folks, we're all in the same boat, hopefully paddling the same way. But that's the way we live in this day and time. It's hard to focus long. You try to pray 20 minutes, and I guarantee you, you'll wonder, why in the world I have such a hard time to pray? Everything in the world will happen. You ever tried it? Everything in the world will happen. So each one of us should understand the purpose of the assembly. Ladies and gentlemen, we come together here to worship Almighty God. I want to tell you something. As far as this in these walls, the only thing that matters is what God teaches us and how we worship Him while we're in these walls. Everything else is excess. It only matters what we hear right here. This is such a valuable time that God set it aside, preordained it for the church to have its local assembly where the Word of God could be taught and where we could hear if we just listen to what God has to say. Number two, each one of us should do his or her best in the assembly. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "In whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." If I come in and sit down beside someone and a stranger comes in, then what I'm going to do to them, I'm going to do heartily as unto the Lord. I'm going to make them feel welcome the best that I can. And then it means if I'm in a position teaching, I need to work hard preparing my lesson and be enthusiastic about that lesson. God knows my heart. Every Monday, and sometimes Sunday night when I go to bed, I start asking God, please help our teachers coming up. Whether it be Wednesday night, or whether it be Sunday morning, or next Sunday. God, don't let nobody wait till Saturday night midnight to pick up the Bible and start trying to study their lesson. Dear God, help them start on Monday morning. Walk, may they walk with you. Get a heartbeat what's going on. Have a heart for that class. Love that class. Be broken for that class. And help that, and hope for that class will unite itself together. Or that body will unite itself together for the purpose of what the church should be here for. And not for any pride or any egotistical selfishness, but for what God wants us to be here for. If you're singing, pay attention to pitch and speech and attitude. Let your heart feel what you sing, and then God will bless it where it's in tune or not. So I can't carry a tune. Let me see the heart. I could care less whether you carry a tune or not. But if the heart's not right and the tune's not right, nothing's right. But what a joy it is when the heart's right and the melody comes from the heart. And the voice comes with that. And God is honored because someone worked hard during the week to perform for the glory of God. Do it as unto the Lord. When you pray, and pray just from the heart. The other night, I'm going to say this. Brother Tyson and his dad came and prayed. God had blessed my heart. Because it comes to the time you don't know what to say. You don't know how to say it, but you feel it. You just feel it. And God just touches your heart. Brother Tyson began to pray. He said, God, I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say, but I know what I feel. And I pray that you do what we're asking to do. Listen, it isn't the eloquent words. It didn't have your vocabulary just right so everybody else said, oh, isn't that a wonderful prayer? It comes from the heart, or it's no good. Well, I didn't mean to single that out, but I want you to know God uses things at times which literally shows that He's there. No pride, no egotistical play and kind in it at all. Just a concern to want God to have His best in what's going on at that time. When it comes to worshiping and giving, keep the mind alert about God. The entire assembly is unto the Lord. Folks, we meet here tonight unto the Lord. I don't know another place to be. Because we meet unto the Lord. Some people sitting home looking at television tonight. They may be looking at another preacher on television. Don't make no difference. You can't beat the house of God. I don't care who they are. God brought me and cut my spiritual teeth on the local church. And God has promised to bless the local church until God takes the local church out. Nowadays, nobody even want the church name put on a building anywhere. They don't want a doctrine even associated with it. Why? Because they want everybody there no matter what they believe. Each should do his or her best in the assembly. Pay attention to the service. Pay attention to the people around you. God, help us to see if I'm sitting there and God bless my heart. And you see someone beside you start weeping. And you know God has touched their heart. May you be spiritual enough to say to that person, if it's a lady to a lady, or a man to a man, don't get eyes circled around you and say, I'm not going to move. I'm going to happen. Preacher, hurry up so I can get out of here. if you see God touching a heart, move to that person and say, can I help you? Can I pray with you? Would you like to talk to someone? Be the hand of God. And somebody sitting next to you, hey, may I tell you, if someone's sitting next to you and suddenly God touches them, it might be God had them to sit there for you. See what I'm saying? We got to be spiritual alert to understand this is not play stuff. This is reality in the kingdom of God until God gets us home. Pay attention to the service and the people around you. Let me tell you this. There is always an enemy to that which God assigns you to. And if it's nothing else, it might be, hey, folks, listen to me. I don't think anything happens by chance. It might be somebody come this Sunday, sit beside you, and God has assigned you to that person and got that person there that day for you to help. And we need to be conscious of that. We need to be conscious of that. You see, there is no perfect church. If a person comes in and sees us and thinks things are going well, there is no perfect church. Now, in the body of Christ, what Christ has done is perfection. But in the assembly itself, there is no perfect church. Did you know that? Those who serve in the church are not perfect. We have a lot of hindrance. We have a lot of problems. We have a lot of situations that we speak before we think. There's a lot of things that takes place. We have to admit, we've not arrived yet. Paul said that. But we got to keep our focus on who the one we're serving. The church is what we are. The church is what we are. Luke chapter 4. Look there with me just a moment. And verse 18, and see what Jesus said about the church, about himself, which is his body, and the church is made up of his body. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Isn't it amazing? I don't find one place in there he says, God has sent me to make everybody rich. God has sent me to help everybody get to the point that they have all their answers. You know, what I'm seeing, that they have no problems, they have no sorrows, he said he sent me that to help, anointing me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the broken heart. That's what the church is about. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. He sent me to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In other words, brokenhearted is one who is hurting. Bruised is one who is hurting. Blind is spiritual bondage, people that cannot see. Not only is it physical that he could do in that day, but he's left his word, his program, his gospel, his word, for in turn that can bring about spiritual blindness and do away with it. He can give spiritual a sight to those who are spiritually blinded. Listen, folks, listen to me. Listen to me. God has called us to serve him in the middle of imperfection. God has called us to serve him in the middle of a mess. We don't need the church if everybody's all right. We don't need the church if everything's going okie dokie. We don't need the church if we don't have any sorrow. We don't need the church. We could be what God knew we'd need the church, and to keep inside the walls of the church what is needed for his people, so when they go back into that world, they're refuel for the purpose of giving the gospel to those who literally do not know him as their Savior. Many feel that the church is where you go when you're ready to do right. Well, I'll go to church when I think I'd live it. I'll go to church when when I'm ready to go, I'll go when I feel like I can do what is right. Well, the church is just for good people. No, it's not. Jesus didn't come for good people here. As a matter of fact, good people most of the time don't see the need to be saved. The church, you look at the scriptures, look at the people that Jesus Christ won to himself, and you find he took ungodly people and made them saints. He took ungodly people and made them children of God. No wonder Paul John in his day would say such a thing. Oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon me that we be called sons of God or children of God. Why? He took the worst and made them children of God. The church will not be needed if people did not make mistakes. The church will not be needed if we didn't have a mess to have for God to help us deal with. So number one, I need to understand the church's purpose. Number two, I need to do my best in the assembly. Number three, each of us should greet our guests with a friendly smile. I don't know. I try my best to teach and I can't. The Holy Spirit just gets in my heart. And I guess if I was teaching a class in college, I'd be preaching all over the place. It's just something about I can't explain to you. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, rebellion against God creates crisis. It always creates crisis. And ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, if I ever rebel against God, it'll hurt me worse than it will anybody else. When we understand these things, it helps us keep us alert. Don't be rude. Don't be spiteful to someone in the church. Do not get off with your family or friends and ignore everyone else. Don't become a pocket of gossip. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Show a love and attitude rather than gripe or complain. Hear this, the proof of your and my love is the investment of my time. The proof of your love is the investment of your time. When I see where you are willing to invest your time, I know what you love. When you see where I'm willing to invest my time, you know what I love. Because we will invest most of our time in what we love. It's just that way. I don't care what level we are in society. I'd be living in a house and somewhere or another and have very little income, but I can still invest my time in that which I love and leave God out if I'm not careful. So each of us should greet guests and be friendly. Show love and attitude. Visitors do not want to see sad faces and bad attitudes. They get enough of that in the world. Would you not agree with that? Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's because I do. When you go out in this world, you see enough of sadness. You hear enough of sorrow, stuff that's going on. And when you come in the confines of the church, you want to be spiritual enough that when you hear someone who is sad, to exhort them so that they can be helped to a place of recovery if it needs that. So understand our purpose. Do our best during their assembly. And each of us should greet our guests and be friendly. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and I won't do nothing but read this because this preached for itself. If you see in verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Boy, I tell you, that's good, isn't it? I'm glad that you know what God promised me here, though, even though I may grieve at times, I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, Brother Jay, that's wonderful. Hey, Brother, amen. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. You say, grieve not? Well, if he said not do it, we must be able to do that. Somebody said, well, I don't think you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You must be able to. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And then I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look in verse 20. Paul said, brethren, be not children in understanding. Don't be immature. Children are always selfish, immature. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men, be mature. And again, if you notice, how about in malice be ye children? You know, amazing thing, children get upset and get over in just a minute. I mean, it's amazing to me. You can have two children out playing somewhere and they be mad as fire slapping each other side of the head and you're about. And you go out there and try to stop it, and 2 minutes later you look and they're hugging each other, playing disharmony. They done forgot everything. And that's the reason God said, brethren, be not children in understanding as they don't understand. They're immature. But he said, howbeit in malice be ye children. That is, when something happens and get over it, then he says again, but in understanding, be men, be mature. And then the fourth thing knows, pay attention to details. Go to 1 Kings with me, just a moment. And this is interesting to me. Something said here that even in, 2,900 years ago. You look with me in 1 Kings chapter 20, and then we're going to go home in just a minute. Verse 30 through 49. This is to encourage us together, folks. I'm saying to you, I know there's a lot of people, a lot better preacher than I am, but I'll tell you this. Your attitude in the pew when new people come in will do much for what God can do in hearts when I preach, or anyone else preaches from this pulpit. In chapter 20 and down about verse, I want to read verse 39 and 40. And of course, this is a situation when Ahab disobeyed God and didn't destroy Ben-Hadad like he should have. And now the prophet comes to him, and he says, and as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out unto the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man, if by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. He said, now listen, this is something, a situation. There was in a battle, the man was brought to a certain fellow and said, now look out, this man, you take care of it. You be sure you keep your eye on this man. A direct command of someone who had charge to tell him to do that. Don't let anything interfere with keeping your eye on this man. Now, what's that equivalent to? If I look at anything to understand that the Old Testament is written for admonition and for understanding, helping me not be like the Old Testament saints were, then it says to me that I should be very focused on what God has commanded me, who is my commander in chief, and what he's commanding me that I should be doing. I need to be focused on that and not let anything deviate me from that. Now watch in verse 40. But as the servant was busy here and there, he got busy around here and there. He was gone. The guy got away. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself has decided it. In other words, he said, you didn't do what I said, do. So the consequences of your disobedience, you have decided yourself that these consequences are coming. You refused to obey what I said do. You got busy about it and elected to do what he said do. And therefore, it's going to happen to you because of your neglect. Now, how does that help me here? I need to pay attention to details. Little things can make the difference in one's life. Things have to do in a class, be on time, start on time. Choir, get back. We asked the choir, if you would, to be ready to come out before 7:30 or before 11 o'clock. We used to cut out at 10 till, now we go to quarter till. And Brother Ken knows right now, most of the choir, if they get back there by 11, we do pretty good. Well, love you, choir, but we need to be back there before 11. Amen. Choir? Amen. Choir? I better resign tonight then, I reckon. I love you, choir. But I'm telling you, we're speaking to ourselves now. Folks, listen to me. We have to give the extra mile. We have to go the extra time. When people get up and fight their way to church, and a lot of them do that. Where's my shirt? Where's my tie? Where's my shoes? I put them where? No, you didn't. When they get here, and they get here a few minutes before, and they have to sit and wait because we're not waiting for them. Hey, time is important to people. If you don't believe it, you look in the business world, and you got a business someone who is a client, and you don't get there in time, see what happens. People lose millions of dollars, thousands of dollars anyhow, just because they miss time unless there's a legitimate reason for it. What I'm saying to you, time is important to us all. And we'll be saying, hey, we're ready for you. We prayed up. We worked up. Choir comes out here and practices hard on Sunday night for 45 minutes. Specials practice hard. We're ready for you. We want you to know. You just not come in here and we just slap together and say, well, why we won't sing today? Well, I don't know. Now, sometimes I do that. Sometimes I ask you what you want to sing. But most of our services are already pre-programmed. We don't have nothing that passes. What I'm saying that we ought to realize how precious time is. It's precious. Again, make children behave. When babies in auditorium, be sure that they're, and some of the ladies do this a lot, be sure to kindly go to a person and say to them, you know, can we help you this morning? We got some good people in the choir, in the nursery. Keep your seating area clean. Help clean the restroom. Help keep the restrooms clean. I don't know. We've had some cases here recently. We can't find out who's doing it. It's taken toilet tissue and just about some of the in the restrooms and put whole rolls of toilet tissue in the wrapped in the paper in the commode down in the hole. Now that costs us money. And I don't know who did that, but they're here. I pray God will let you see, hey, you're not just doing something as far as the church is going to. Maybe not even be here tonight. I don't know. If you're not doing something to the church, you're taking God's money and ruining it by being vandal with it. So I say to you, consider your church when you make your trips away. You know, we all can't be away on a holiday. Tell others when you cannot keep the schedule if it's your part of the service somewhere. And we have good working conditions for that. But just remind us of that. Be like David when he said Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I say to you, making visitors feel welcome, understand our purpose here. Do our best in the assembly when we're here. Let each of us greet people with a friendly smile. Pay attention to details. Say, God, I'm sitting here today, and if I'm blessed by what's been said of a song or person or the preacher or the word or the evangelist or whoever it is, been blessed today, help me pay attention if you're touching someone that I can be used in your hand today to help someone. Making visitors feel welcome. Conclusion, I want to just say, what visitors see us doing in the first impression that they come into our church will determine whether they think they want to stay or not. What they see when they come in, ushers to reach a hand, help them find a seat. If they set someone beside you, say, how are you doing today? Oh, it's so good to see you. I appreciate you coming. I realize, where are you from? Oh, are you? Find something. And then, of course, don't do it the whole service. I want to preach, but I'm just saying, take a little time and find yourself being a friend to that person. Will our refusing to cooperate drive everyone away? No, not everyone. Will it drive some? It may. And that's what I'm reminded us of. Most people decide on the very first visit to a church whether they will open up to listen to us teach them God's word or not. That first impression. And I guarantee you, when they come in, the first impression will be how they felt they were treated in the pew, more so than what was said from the pulpit. That gets their attention to start with. Unless they know God, love God, and love the preaching of God's word, then that's entirely different. A person who loves God and loves the preaching of God's word, when they go in, the word's proclaimed, that, man, they're satisfied. But you find that most people that come through the doors, you find, and I say most, if they come in, they're either looking and moved or not saved. And much visitation we do, probably a lot of folks who may not be saved that come in. Thank God for those that are, that keep visiting with us. Most people decide on that first visit, though, what they're going to do. And if that decision is based on what they see in you and in me, what will they decide? The Word of God may catch them as they listen, but I guarantee you they could hear the best message in the world that anyone could preach. But if something happens in the pew that one feels like, well, somebody shunned me or thubbed their nose at me, they won't ever come back. Satan will see to it, that is what. You say, well, no one's ever done it. I don't know that they have, but I'm saying we got to keep our guard. That which is routine to us can become so routine that we don't improve. If that decision is based on what they see in you, what would they decide? Do people see you serving or do they see you consuming? To consume is to be proud and critical and complain. To serve is to give out talents, give our talents back to God and be faithful. Today, many look for a fast food, happy meal type of entertainment for their spirituality. Do church my way. Do it like I want it. And I'll leave a tip when I go out. That's not the way church works. Let me sit a while and you entertain me with your higher personnel, and then I'll decide where to come back. And if I really like it, I don't care whether you preach to me or not. I'm in church and that's all I want to do. Don't worry about the preaching, because preaching, all it does is cause trouble. Preaching because we already know what we believe. And all preaching can do is cause trouble. I don't believe that because God told Paul, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And he says if any trouble goes on, it won't be because you, Paul. It'll be because they reject the word. So you and I tonight have a great church. God has blessed us. And when I leave, when I talk about leaving, you know, and we will. It'll probably be through death or something, or I don't know. My health is getting. But when that day comes to happen, this church will have a united force together that you can find a good, godly person to fill this pulpit. Now, why? Why am I saying this? Because Dr. Jack Hudson told me many years ago, so, Brother Ennis, we sat lunch one day together. God will use someone to raise up something for a long period of time, but you've got to keep in mind, we're not going to live here forever. And if God raises something up in someone from the embryo stage up to the time of growth, then you need to be sure to realize there may come a time. It could come early, but when you're young, you don't think about this. But as you get old, it could come a time that where you have to say, physically, I can't do it. And he said, that's when the people need to understand what they're here for, what the purpose is, and don't get in this thing that destroys churches. Division will destroy you. It will destroy you. And we want to be sure that we're in harmony, focus on God. Pray God give me a long life, but focus on Him. And in turn, be the church that God could meet with us in His in our presence. And we feel Him. And we love each other because we love Him. And when that happens, people will feel that when they come in. It's very common for someone to say, now, you know, I visited your church, and boy, I really felt your people were just as friendly as they could be. I said, praise the Lord for that. But I bet you this, I bet you have one of us in here who is faithful and win most of the services. Sometimes you wonder, I don't know, is our church that friendly or not? Because you see, our friendliness is so great, it's normal. Right? But when they come in, they've not been where that's happened. It is nothing uncommon to have people who are in our visit say, you know, I went to church, to the church, and not one person in the pew visit or spoke to us. I said, I don't believe that ever happened at fellowship. And some of those people come and they said, you know, it's not. Three or four people shook my hand. Three or four people talked to me. I'm talking to us as a body of believers now because I believe we need to understand what our purpose is for. We need to do our best in our assembly. We need to have a friendly greeting of a smile. Be friendly. We need to pay attention to details. And we want to realize that though the preaching is what God uses, if I be what I need to do, then when God preaches, when God uses God's man, whoever's in this pulpit, preach His word, he'll have a free access to go into someone's heart. There won't be a barrier there that keeps it and bounces it off. He'll just go to that individual. And you'll see, like you see so many times. You know what a joy it is sometimes when God, I'll be preaching away and all of a sudden I'll see someone and I'll see tears and God will speak to my heart. While I'm preaching, said, there's one that I blessed through you today. There's another I bless through you today. There's another. You don't know, but I know. You don't know what you said, but I know. Be faithful to what I want you to do. Seek the topics. Listen to the vibration that comes from the church. Get in the Word of God and let me speak to you. And speak on those topics. And there may be 90% of the people won't listen at times, but there'll be this one and that one and this one and that one, and you'll see the result of that on their face. And I'll let you know, son, that I'm blessing that individual that you don't know one thing about. Father in heaven, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for these that are here. Lord, I want to thank you for what you're trying to get us to stop and look at. We're a blessed people, Lord. We got some of the greatest people. I mean, praise God, we had 43 to go with us Saturday on visitation. And we had a number of folks away because we already had the youth out in plan. Now, Lord, we have people who literally get up and walk across the church to see people and welcome. We must not lose that. Because I believe the body collected together is what God uses. That they may see us and say, hey, I want what they got. I want what they got. I want what they got. Someone tell me, how can I get what you got? Lord, I pray that be. I know we can't come to the perfect place. I know that. We'll be in heaven when that happens. But I just pray, help me be a little more friendlier. Help me show the Christian attitude a little more. And may each one of us draw that circle around us. And dear Lord, there are many out tonight, but if these people right here tonight, all of us together, commit ourselves to you to be the vessel, understanding our purpose, God will use us. Sunday morning, somebody's going to be brought in to sit beside of someone. And maybe they wouldn't have thought like they will now since they heard the message. Man, this could be the person preacher is talking about that God has set here for me today. Dear God, please help me. Help me. If I see the need in any way, be friendly to start with, but see the need in any way that I can help that person. Even if someone not saved, walk with them down the aisle to get saved. I want to be the vessel in your hand to accomplish that person while they're here. If they don't remember the preacher, they'll remember me because I showed the Christian attitude towards them while they were sitting beside of me. Dear Father, grant that. Dear Jesus, we love you so much. Our Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And I pray you'd help people understand. I have to make so many decisions during the week. I have to give so much in talking to different people. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help, first of all, with that information, and secondly, people to understand why certain things have to be done at times, and that's what would hinder what you're doing through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? I want to sing a cappella. I will serve him because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. This week. Pray God to bless you, protect you, get you back, and remind you when you have your prayer, your altar, your family, or whatever you have, how much God has blessed us here. And be focused. Brother Lee, dismiss us, brother.
Our Heavenly Father, how good. sign of a healthy body.
Yeah, Father.
That it has a defense mechanism in itself to fight those diseases
that
are destroying. God, correct us.
Yes, Lord God.
Cleanse us where we need cleansing, Lord. Help us not to become cold and indifferent.
Oh, God.
Lord, you've given us so much. Saved us from our sins.
Yes.
Given us a new heart and a new life. Lord, you blessed us with untold blessings. Help us not to become complacent and indifferent.
Yes.
Thank thee for a place where we can come unafraid and give our hearing unreserved to the preaching of thy word.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, as our pastor said this morning, for an open altar, Lord, a place where men can be drawn and find thee. Lord, thank thee for this word. Help us to go out into life and live what we have heard this evening.
Yes.
Our hearts are encouraged by
that, God.
We thank thee for it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Be ye kindly, affection to one another.
Yes,
love
Lord.
One
That's
another.
That's what you tell us.
Oh, thank you for that, Lord.
Yeah, Lord God.
Thank you for the encouragement that we've heard,
Lord.
The correction we've heard this evening. Help us to be on time when we should be on time, Lord. No one needs to hear that more than I. Bless us to this end, Lord. That our light may shine in this dark world. That we may do things for thy glory. And whatsoever we do, we do in word and deed and spirit before thee, Lord. Grant this to us, we pray. Bless us all to thy glory, Lord, we pray. Our earthly good, for Christ's sake.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.